Amen. Thank you for praying with me for that. That's very important. You're in Luke's gospel this morning. We're going to have we don't have a lot of time, like because we had the children's play. But this morning, I just want to talk to you briefly, if you don't mind, about the virgin birth. Very, very important. Now, listen, in 8 days, you know what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we don't know if Jesus was born on December 25th. I hope that didn't shock any of you. I mean, I hope you know what I'm saying, but that's okay. The main thing is Jesus was born, and it was the most important birth in the history of mankind. Amen? Without it, we would be in dire trouble. And I'm sure that this morning, if I mentioned to you and if I said that, if you've lived as long as I have lived, and you look at the world that we live in today, and you see the generation that we're living in today, we would have to be honest and admit that perhaps this generation is a little different. This generation is a little confused. This generation might be a little deceived. Amen. Okay? And the reason for it, not being hard on them, because I was one time a part of a generation that was walking through this world in darkness, trying to find my way and trying to find the meaning of life and why I was here and what was the purpose of it anyway. Amen? But here we live in a time that is so strange, this generation is trying to erase everything they can, thinking that if they erase monuments and tear down this and erase their identity and make this their identity and use a pronoun here or rename military institutions, if they believe that if we can sanitize history, that everything's going to be better. It doesn't work that way. There's only one person that can change anything in this world and in our lives, and he is the one who was born of a virgin, born in a manger, and his name is Jesus Christ. And listen, he makes all things new, amen? And he is going to correct all injustices and all things that are wrong, and only he can do it, for he is our creator, amen? He's the one who created your identity. You didn't. You're male, you're female, guess what? That's the way God planned it. And that's the way it should be, loved ones. So next Sunday, Christmas Eve, we're going to do something. We have two services, as always. We're going to gather. We're going to have a wonderful communion service. And then we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord. With all that being said, I hope you're in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 this morning. And we'll look at a couple of births. We're not going to be in deep detail this morning. Let me read to you. It says, Luke is writing, and he says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us," talking about the events of the life of Jesus, it says, "just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word," and he says, "delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding," meaning divine inspiration, okay? Perfect understanding of all things from the very beginning or the very first, "an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." So Luke is writing to Theophilus. That name means lover of God. We're not for sure who he is. Was he a judge, some type of Roman official? We're not sure, but we know this. He trusted and loves Jesus Christ, okay? So he says, "most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things which you were instructed." Now, Luke writes and he says, listen, and he uses a word like eyewitness. We get our English word autopsy. He's saying, I have dissected the whole narrative and everything. I've gone through it and it is all true, absolutely every bit of its perfect truth. And then he says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, remember who he was? He was mean. He was a monster. He's the one who killed the little babies, remember? And it says, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah and his wife with daughters of Aaron, name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. Now, that doesn't mean they were perfect. That means they loved the Lord, they obeyed the Lord, and they wanted to be faithful. Now, they were born there, of course, but they lived, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they lived in a very troubled time. They lived in a very troubled nation, Israel, which is very troubled even today. Amen. The things that are going on, Hamas, the war, and so forth. And so who was ruling then was Rome. And Rome really thought they had everything under control. But you know what? Rome is never ruling anything. Amen. Is Rome still here? Are the Herods still here? No, but Jesus is. Amen. They're gone. So 400 years of silence happened between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, unto, say, the Gospel of Matthew or even here in Luke. And so God now is going to start revealing himself again to the nation of Israel. He says in verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both what? You can say it. We're not going to be religious in this service. They were well advanced in years. So the next time anyone calls me an old man, I'm going to get on to you. I want you to say, that's Pastor Bill. And look at him. He is well advanced in years. I think that's a kind way of saying you're not elderly, you're not decrepit, you're not bent over. You know, you're just well advanced in years. And so now listen, if you are well advanced in years, and some of you are you really expecting a lot of things in your life, right? You know? If you're 90 years old, as young as I am, 45, all I want to do is go get, when I leave here, you know where I'm going? Lazy boy. Yeah, it's been conformed to my image. Do you understand? And that's all I care about at my age. You know, maybe give me a glass of iced tea with that, maybe a Christmas cookie, you know, something. But I mean, I'm not expecting anything. I mean, I'm not, and so here they are, they're old, and they're not expecting anything to happen because really they're at the end of their lives. But God is never through with you until you're gone. Amen. He is never through with you. So if you're well advanced in years, God still has a plan for you and plan for your life because you are still here, Christian. Amen? And so all of a sudden, something's going to happen. God's plan is going to be revealed unto them. And so it was in verse 8, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell, or he was chosen by lot, if you will, to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Now, let me set this up for you. Zacharias is a priest of God. He's at the temple, and back then, the priest had to serve 2 weeks out of the year, 1 week and then later on another week, okay? And so what happens is, as they're serving, they cast lots to find out what priest or which priest is going to have the incredible, only one time in the lifetime, one time honor out of all the priests, okay, who will burn incense before the beautiful curtain with the cherubim. There behind that would be the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is. But before the curtain there in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of Incense. And so to be chosen to do that is one of the greatest honors that he could ever have. So he goes over, he takes the coals off the sacrificial area. He takes that burning coal, he goes over and places that in the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the people, okay? And then he pours on the fragrance, the oil, and so forth. And as he does, the holy place is filled with fragrance, and like the smoke, and it ascends up to God, meaning our prayers. Now, when that happened, something miraculous took place 2,000 years ago. Then the angel of the Lord, that's Gabriel, appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. And that's another way to say, just have faith right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is what? Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth, remember Elizabeth was barren, she could have no children, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a girl. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the NIV version. will bear you a son, and you shall call his name God is gracious. That's what the word means. Now listen to me. Do you see how incredible that is? There is Zacharias. He is well advanced in years. He's fulfilling his priestly duties. And all of a sudden, as he puts the charcoal, or the coal rather, the hot coal and the spices and all the liquids and all the rest of it, and then the angel appears and starts speaking to him. And he says, "Don't you be afraid. Your wife, who is barren, guess what? You're going to have a boy. You're going to have a little son. And his name, you're going to call him John. Your prayer is heard." Listen, is there anything greater when your prayer is heard? And what was John praying for? Zacharias, what was he praying for? Was he praying for the Messiah to be born, for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel from Rome? It says, we know what he was praying for. He had to be praying, even at his old age, he had to be praying for a son to be born. That is amazing. That blows me away. You say, "Bill, how do you know that exactly?" Well, look at it again. Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Okay, what is it? Well, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a son. You're going to call his name John. Listen, that's unbelievable. You know, the Bible says this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, "We have confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will," if we ask anything according to the will of God, okay? This is the will of God, by the way, right here is the word of God. If we ask anything according to his will, the Bible says he hears us. And it says, if he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That takes great faith. Amen? And when you think about this prayer that now has been answered to this well-advanced couple, and matter of fact, the fact is, what kind of son is he going to have? Unbelievable. Do you know what I've learned in my short period of time on this planet? Is that we pray, but our prayers are answered sometimes when we least expect it. And might even expect it when we don't want it. I mean, if I was 90 years old, would you want a new baby in the household? Well, come on, let's be honest. Oh, I would love that. No, really? You can't even pick one of them up. You know? Have you ever tried to change diapers when you're shaking like that? Come on. No. Man. So what happens? Gabriel does something. It's so miraculous. And he not only says, God says you're going to call him, this is God's name, wants to give you this name for your son. He's going to tell the characteristics of John the Baptist. Watch. It says in verse 14, and Zacharias, you will have joy and gladness. In other words, this little one's not going to kill you. He's not going to put you under. Don't worry. And many will rejoice at his birth. Why? Well, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. What are you going to do with that scripture? Did you hear what he just said? That baby in the womb of Elizabeth, he is going to be filled. That word means completely filled, full with the Holy Spirit of God, even from the womb. I heard a person say the other day, well, that's not what that means. It means that when John is born and he grows up, he's going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. That's not what the text says. It says that God made a decision. Apart from man's religion, apart from Zacharias, apart from Elizabeth, God says, I'm going to fill this young man that I'm naming John with the Holy Spirit, even the very womb. I wonder if Zacharias understood that. I doubt it very seriously. And he says here, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him. In other words, he's going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And how does he do it? In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and the wisdom of the just. And here it is, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are you ready for the Lord? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? That's what the ministry does. We prepare people for what the truth says. Jesus is coming back, loved one. And John the Baptist was to prepare the people of Israel. The King is coming. He was to prepare their hearts, make their hearts ready. What a calling that is. How would you like God to tell you that's what your son's going to be like or your daughter, loved one? Now, he says he's going to be great in the sight of man? No. Great in the sight of King Herod? No. Great in the sight of the religious system? No. John is going to be great in the sight of Jesus, or in sight of Almighty God. How great is he going to be? I want to give you two scriptures from the mouth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who told us how great this man would be. Jesus told us in Luke 7:28, he says, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Think about that. I mean, David was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. Ezekiel. And Jesus just said, this man is greater than them. Think about that. I'm talking about John, the baby that we're talking about right now. And not only that, you know what Jesus said later? Not only is he greater than all of the prophets, he is greater than any man born of a woman. Let me read it to you in Matthew 1:11. "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist." He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He never wrote a book. He was never on TBN. He was never on Daystar. He never took up an offering, as we know. Do you understand? He had no earthly credentials. He didn't graduate from Jerusalem University. Do you follow me? But he was full of the Spirit from inside Elizabeth. And Jesus said, there was never anyone like my forerunner. There was never a man greater than this man. Listen, John's birth, yes, it was a miracle, okay? Filled with the Holy Spirit, born, of course, in a woman's old age. But think about it. He was born to baptize Jesus Christ, the Savior. Remember what he said? Behold the Lamb of God as Jesus was coming. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet, how did his life end up? His head was put on a silver platter, remember? Absolutely. Now, if an angel of the Lord appeared to you right now when you go down here and eat at In-N-Out Burger, okay? And there you are, and as you're about to put that in your mouth, all of a sudden the angel, and he says, let me tell you about the son you're getting ready to have. And he would tell you all of those things. You know, in Zacharias, what did he do after the angel finished? I mean, he is exploding. His faith is, like Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. He's ecstatic about it, is he? Well, let me see what the next verse says. Okay, what did he say? Here it comes. It says, "And Zacharias said to the angel," meaning after all those things about who his son is going to be. Well, how shall I know this? Do you know what he's saying? Can you give me a little bit more information? Can you give me a sign? I mean, I need some. He said, how am I going to know this? Now, look what he says. "For I am a what?" Oh, there it is. He called himself, "I'm just an old man," but watch what he did. "And my wife, oh, she's well advanced in years." I mean, do you understand? I mean, that was a great guy, wasn't it? So Zacharias, he hears 135 words from the angel that God sent to him, and 135 words of things that have yet to happen, things future. And what did Zacharias do? He spoke 19 words to the angel in unbelief. In other words, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how you think you can pull this off. You know, look at my body. Look at me. Look at me. In matter of fact, you haven't really checked out my wife, have you? I mean, I'm old, but, you know, like I just said. No, he said, and I can imagine him going, "Listen, Gabe, you don't really understand the definition of well advanced in years, do you? You don't know what that really means. I mean, you're from heaven, but I don't think you really understand that, because well advanced in years means this. Number one, I'm old, but she's well advanced. You know what I mean? I think she's older than I am, in other words, okay? So, what happened right there? Same thing that happens today. He was doubting in God's ability to do what God has promised. Listen, when God says he's going to do something, no one can stop him. No one. Not a government, not the White House, not anything. He is the ruler of all things. Amen? Oh, listen. Amen. And so, listen, I'm not critical of Zachariah, but you're getting ready to move into a brand new year. Some of you are making New Year's resolutions and so forth. You know, when I come to a scripture and I see what Zacharias just did, doubted, I check out my own heart. I say, okay, Lord, I want to do an exam. Do I believe? Do I really trust your word? Do I believe that when I pray, not only do you hear me, but I expect an answer because you cannot lie. Amen? Not only that, do you check out yourself? Do you believe in the supernaturalness of God? Do you believe in the here-ness and the now-ness of God? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is here right this minute? Do you believe that God is greater than anything that we may ever face in our life? The scripture says, he says, why have you limited the Holy One of Israel? Who are we to ever draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, you can't cross it because you're just not that powerful. And we put God in some type of theological box. No, there is nothing, no, nothing too difficult for God. And he says here, and the angel said to Gabriel, yeah, you are well advanced in years. No, he said, I'm Gabriel. I'm the mighty one from God. And listen to what he says. I stand in the presence of God, meaning in heaven. And I was sent to speak to you, you moron. No, I'm just joking. And you bring these, to bring you these glad tidings. In other words, good news to you about what God's going to do. But behold, you don't believe me. But behold, you're going to be mute. Oh, if I could do that to people. You know, you're going to be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place. Why? Look at it. Because you didn't believe what I said that would be fulfilled in your own time. So Gabe says, okay, you know what? You don't believe? Well, your words that you just spoke, those 19 words, they're going to be judged. And because of that, I don't like what you're saying. You're not going to be able to say anything else. You're going to keep your mouth shut for 9 months. Think about that. God had been silent with Israel for 400 years. Not one prophetic word from Malachi to Luke. And he finds a man and he gives a prophetic word and the man doesn't believe. How sad is that? Now, and the people waited for Zacharias. They marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. And when he came out, he couldn't speak to them, and they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple and they beckoned to him. But he remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And after those days, something happened. Elizabeth conceived. Now, I wonder how that happened. Never mind. Now, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, oh, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people. See, if you were a Jewish woman at that time and you had no children, you were looked upon as less of a woman. And that's why, oh, my reproach is now gone. And now in the 6 months, so 6 months later, we're going to go to Jerusalem real quick. Gabriel's going to be there. And he says, now in the 6th month, angel Gabriel was sent God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a what? Virgin, betrothed, or engaged. It's more than engagement. You'd have to legally divorce, okay, even though marriage had not been consummated. So betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. We know that. He was the Joseph the carpenter. And to the house of David. Now watch this. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel, I wonder, did he open the door? You know, having come in, I always wonder about, I know, never mind. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And yes, that's a true word. She is blessed among women. She is not blessed above women. If you ever read the Jerome, you know, the Latin Vulgate, the Bible, in that translation, it says, O hail Mary, full of grace. And they've taken that, meaning that she can dispose grace to whom she wishes. That's not what Scripture teaches, loved one. That's only God does that. Amen. But is she blessed among women? Oh, come on. She's the mother of our Lord. Yes, what a wonderful thing. Now watch verse 29. Look what Mary did. And when Mary saw him, she was troubled. Look what she was troubled at, though. At his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, listen carefully, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Savior or Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21 that Jesus will save us. He's our Savior, save us from our sins. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest or the Son of God, equal with God because he is God. And he says he will be great, called the Son of the Highest. and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, the covenant that God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 will come to pass. And it says, and he, Jesus, our Lord, he will reign over the house of Jacob, how long? Forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Now listen carefully. I don't want to get off on this because I don't have time. But there is a new world coming. Jesus is going to come for the church. That's called the rapture or the catching away. He may take us home tonight. What a Christmas gift that would be. Amen? I mean, I wouldn't be singing jingle bells, but I mean, I'm going home. You know? Listen to me now. There is a new world coming. And at the second coming of Christ, Jesus is going to return to this earth. He is going to set up what we call the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom age, the thousand-year reign. And he is going to reign over, the whole world. But Israel will be there. His kingdom has no end. Don't let anyone tell you, and it's so prevalent today because Israel is a hated nation right now. And they've always been hated, by the way. Don't let anyone tell you that the church, we Gentiles, who were grafted in, we have replaced the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham. That covenant is eternal. It is everlasting. God is not through with the Jewish people. God has not cast away the people of Israel. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I don't know where it's at, but it's verse 23, someplace in there. Maybe it's 10, 11. I don't know. It's right in there someplace. Hey, I'm well advanced in years. That blindness in part has happened to the nation of Israel until the times of the fullness of the Gentiles come in. It's their blindness is temporary. One day they are going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens at the second coming. Amen? So God's not through with Israel. Don't ever think that. Matter of fact, you better keep your eye on Israel because it's revealing what God is doing right now. Amen? Now, so then Mary said to the angel, watch this now. Well, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. That word literally, know, means I've never been intimate with a man. I am a virgin. I mean, how in the world is this going to happen? Now listen carefully. Mary is not like Zacharias. She is not doubting. She's not walking in unbelief. She's shocked. She's going, okay, I heard what you said, but I just don't know how that's going to happen, Gabe. You know what I mean? In other words, because what method is this going to occur? I need some information here if you don't mind. You know, Mary was the first woman to question the virgin birth. Did you know that? All right, never mind. Verse 35, quickly, because I'm running out of time here. And the angel answered and said to her, here's what's going to happen, Mary. Now listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Okay. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to come rest upon you. Now watch. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. In other words, this is going to be a divine creative action from the power upon high. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of Joseph. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Son of God. Did you notice it says he will be called? It didn't say he will become. You know why? Because Jesus has always been. Amen? Yes. Okay. Now listen carefully. I said this to the early service. I'll say it to you as well. And you're going to listen to it. It's not going to register. You're not going to like what I'm about to say because it doesn't, it's just not going to compute. But I want you to get this. The birth of Jesus Christ was not a miracle. I know you're going, Bill. The birth of Jesus Christ was not a miracle, loved one. How are babies born? They're born. There's blood. Are y'all with me? Every baby is born the same. Man, well, you could have a C-section, but you know what I'm trying to get at. I mean, so the birth was not the miracle. You know what the miracle was? It was how he was conceived. See, there's the miracle. It's not okay, he was born in a manger. No, okay, that's a sign for the shepherds. It was that Oh, the miracle that took place in that scripture I just read. Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, the Jesus Christ, the Lord of all things, the creator of all things. He is the Holy One. And the word holy there means that he's sinless. Mary, your son will never sin. Have you ever been around a baby that has never sinned and grew up? No, your baby that's born is a sinner. Put that on the cradle. Do you understand? They're born fallen. Jesus is God. He's holy. He is the Holy One. And boy, whatever happened in Mary's womb, whatever that was, there is the divine miracle from God right there. And it says he's not going to know any sin. The Bible says that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And now it says, the angel said, now indeed, Mary, let me give you some more information. Your relative Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age, and now she's in the sixth month for her who was called barren. Couldn't have a baby, for with God nothing will be impossible. What did the angel do? He gave her a word of encouragement. It's going to come to pass, Mary, because listen, look what happened to your relative Elizabeth. Man, listen, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you better believe that, Christian, next year. If the Lord tarries and we're still here, you better hold on to that with all of your heart, because nothing is impossible with God. And what did Mary say? Oh, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Maidservant, literally, the doulos, if you will, or douli, which is the lowest status. A willing, where she's saying, I am in favor. I'll do whatever you want. My heart is willing to do God's perfect will. I give up all my rights. I'm his maidservant. And then she said something. Let it be to me according to thy word. What a word is that? Lord, let your word be it to me. All the promises of God, let them be to you. And then it says the angel departed. His mission had been accomplished. Listen to me. This is very important. The virgin birth, as I try to close this out in the next 5 hours, okay? The virgin birth, loved one, listen, is so, so, so important. It is a fulfillment of prophecy. Remember in Isaiah 7:14 that God, he told him, behold, the virgin, not a virgin, the virgin, will conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. And somebody might say, well, Bill, I've studied Hebrew, and that word there for woman is Alma, which means a young woman. It didn't say virgin. Well, listen to me. It's not a sign for a young woman to have a baby. It's a sign for a virgin to have a baby. Amen? And it is a virgin. Matthew 12:22, quickly, it says here, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to the Lord through the prophet, meaning 700 years earlier. Behold, the virgin, a specific virgin named Mary, the virgin, God knows who she is, will be with child, bear a son. They're going to call his name God with us, or Emmanuel. Listen to me. Anytime you hear anyone say, anytime you hear a pastor or someone on the radio, Christian radio, or some seminary, university, Bible college, when you hear someone deny the virgin birth, you better run. Do you understand? You better run from that individual. They may call themselves servants of God, but they are not servants of God. They're servants of the wicked one. Do you hear me? Listen, you say, well, Bill, that's pretty strong. You're kind of putting them down. No, I believe God's word. The Bible says this about the virgin birth, meaning the God-man. God becomes, Jesus is 100% man, 100% human. At the same. That's unbelievable, but it's true. It says in 1 John 4:2, it says, by this you recognize the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of truth. Every spirit, that means people, every pastor, every teacher, every Christian, anyone in the world, it says every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That is of God. To come in the flesh means that God is all, Jesus has always existed. Do you understand? It means that he really did when he was born. He was 100% God, 100% man without any sin. He is the God-man. The God-man died on a cross. He was placed in a tomb. He rose the third day. He ascended unto heaven. Amen. And the same Jesus is going to come back one day for us. Amen. Now, listen, why is it so important? If the virgin birth, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, if he's not 100% man and 100% God, everything's a joke. We need to go home and sing Jingle Bells. Do you understand? We need to make some Christmas cookies. We need to redecorate the Christmas tree, okay? Because the fact of the matter is, if the incarnation is not true, that means that God is a liar. It means this too. It means in John 1:14, where it says this, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. It means it's not true. He didn't dwell among us. It means that he lied. It means that Jesus lied to Philip. You know, Philip came to him and said, Lord, show us the Father. John 14:9. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. See, if Jesus was not 100% man, 100% God, the God-man without sin, it means, like it says in Hebrews 2:9, it says he came to taste death for everyone. Taste it for you so you wouldn't have to. What death really is. If the virgin birth, if he didn't come in the flesh, God himself, he's not Emmanuel. He's not God with us. We're dead still in sins. And not only that, he didn't destroy the one who had the power over death. That is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. He didn't do it. Listen, if Jesus was not Emmanuel, God with us, if he was not 100% God, 100% man, the God-man, listen carefully now, John 3:16 is not true. It's not true. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, whoever believed would not perish, have everlasting life. No, let me read this scripture again. I'm going to close, but just hold on. 1 John 4:2. By this we know the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of that Christ has come in the flesh. Whoever believes that is of God. Now listen to this part. And every spirit, meaning anybody, teacher, pastor, whatever, who does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, 100% human, 100% God, is not of God. And listen to who they are. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, is already in the world. 2 John 7, it says, oh, so many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Listen to what John says. This is a deceiver. This is Antichrist. 1 John 2:22, John says, who is a liar? What a word. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, 100% deity, 100% human. Whoever denies that, he is Antichrist and does not have the Father. He does not have the Son. Do you see how important the virgin birth is, loved one? Listen, he is the God-man. And let me tell you, as we close this morning in this rushed sermon, there is only one name given among man. Only one. There's not a, no matter what men, no matter what other religious leaders throughout all of the generations or even today, no matter what, there's not salvation in any other name, but only one name. No other, loved one, none. There's no other name given under heaven which among men, which means it's universal in every generation, by which we must be saved. We must. Must means divine necessity. There's only one name. There's only one Savior. There's only one way. There is no plan B. There's no other, okay, a second chance. There's no middle ground. No, there's no other way. Only Jesus saves, and he alone saves, and no one else, no matter what they say, can save but one. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man, no person in any generation comes unto the Father. You can never make it to heaven. Your sins can never be forgiven. No man can come to the Father except by me and no one else. Amen. Somebody, maybe you're probably listening live right now, and I just feel it in my spirit. And you're going, well, okay, Bill, I don't know about Jesus, but I believe in God, and that's enough. I believe in God. I believe there is a God, and I believe, and that settles it. I'm okay. No, you're not. You're not. You're in trouble. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. Whoever denies the Son, whoever denies the God-man, whoever denies Jesus Christ who came in the flesh, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. What a word is that? Jesus said, he who does not honor the Father does not honor the Son. There is only one way to be saved. It's not by, I'm going to join the church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again into the church. It's not by, I'm going to be a good person. There is none good. None but one. Well, I'm going to change my ways. You can't change your ways unless you're born again. You need His power, His grace, His love, His word. There's only one way. You can't join a church. Doesn't matter what denomination. You have to be born again. When you're born again, old things pass away. All things become new. You're filled with the Spirit of God, sealed with the Spirit of God. And guess what? Your sins, every sin, past, present, future, is now sent away. It is paid for. It is paid for. And God says, because you've trusted my Son, I'm going to impute or give unto you His righteousness, His perfect, spotless, sinless record. The life that He lived is now going to be your life. And when I see you in my Son, I see you just as perfect as the Son that I sent to die for every sin that you've ever committed. And if you believe in Him, you will be with me, Jesus said, in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. As our heads are bowed, if you don't know Christ, I'm not asking you to stay at this church. I'm not asking you to become a member of Calvary. I'm asking you to run to Jesus who died for you, to run to Him who loves you, who can change you, who can help you, who can forgive you, who can put you on a brand new road and a brand new beginning. Right now you can have a whole brand new day, but you have to come to Him. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? You don't have to get out of your chair, but you have to do one thing. You just have to lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus. And that's it. And you put your hand right back down. And I'm going to pray for you. That's all you have to do. You don't have to even come to this altar. But you have to show faith. If that's you, quickly now. Please, in Jesus' name, if that's you, don't fight this day. Please. I see that. That's right. God bless you. Who else lifted their hand and put it down? I didn't get to see it. Lift it high. Put it right back down. Quickly, please. Anyone else that lifted their hands? This is my last call. If you feel the Holy Spirit beating on your heart, please let Him in. Please. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to be changed. I'm sick of me. Are you ready for new life? Last call. I'll not ask again. Lift it high. Put it right back down. Father, you saw the hands that were raised, and maybe you're listening live on the radio right now, and you say, Bill, my hand is up, and I know you can't see it, but no, it's okay. You just pray this prayer that we're about to pray, and God will save you out there in media land as well. But you who lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me right now. Say, Father, today I'm coming to the one who was born of a virgin, placed in a feed trough, died for my sins, Jesus Christ. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, that you raised Him from the dead. Father, you promised. You cannot lie. if I would place my trust in Christ, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, amen.